St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
I don't want to work, I want to bang on the drum all day.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Cause I'm working for a living.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here.
Got a question for you. Where did you get your first ideas about work? And how were your attitude about it formed? When you hear the subject of work, where did you, and you have certain attitudes, you have certain thoughts when you hear the word work, you need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, where did these attitudes come from, and how was my opinion formed about work? Did the adults in your life portray work as a burden or a privilege? Which, see, it's interesting. Now, most of us don't think about this. Most of us don't think of how our minds have been influenced by the world about subject that we deal with every single day. Marriage, kids, work. How about work? How has your mind been influenced by work? And the way that you were, it was portrayed as you were growing up, is it negative or is it positive? Our students here this morning, when you hear the word work, or you think about a future, I'm going to have to work for the rest of my life, is it a positive image or is it a negative image? By the way that you interpret work, it can have a great impact on the rest of your life, on the rest of your life. This morning we had a little mantras or collage of different songs that portrayed the idea of work and working. We ended it with the song Shove It. Johnny Paycheck, he describes one of his supervisors in it as a fool, the other one as just a regular dog before he declares, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. We learned from the Beatles about working like a dog. In working in the song we heard this morning, Working 9 to 5, Dolly Parton complains about barely getting by, being used, not receiving credit for what she's done, not receiving her deserved promotion, and feeling like the boss is out to get her. With the first line that states, I don't want to work, in the song Bang the Drum All Day, it continues, every day I get home from work, I feel so frustrated, the boss is a jerk. And I get my sticks and go out to the shed, and I pound that drum like it was the boss's head. Wow. Think about it. Think if you can come up with a song that portrays work in a positive light. I did. I tried to think of it, and I mean, I guess if you count the Seven Dwarfs song, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. But I couldn't think of a song that portrayed work in a positive light besides Disney. I have another question for you. For those of you that grew up in church, were good works such as serving others, volunteering, and demonstrating kindness and encouragement, and was encouraged in a wholesome way? or was it done with guilt? Was it done with guilt to motivate you and taught that getting into heaven or God answering your prayers was based on how good you were and how many good works you performed? Works do not produce salvation. We know that here. But works always precede salvation. As you renew your mind to who you are in Christ, good works always follow right believing. Believing the gospel will lead into good works. This is not a series about getting saved as much as it is about expressing your salvation. Do you realize that? You are expressing your salvation through the works that you do. It will not be about receiving mercy, because we've already received an abundance of mercy. We know that. But it's about giving mercy. It's not about how to get blessed. It's about how to be a blessing in this world. At Charis New Testament Church, we have a mission, and our mission is to proclaim and expand the kingdom through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And our job as the body of Christ in this place is to expand God's kingdom and bring as many of his children home as possible in the process. Our method of doing this is activating the church in the grace and the wisdom of Christ to take their vocation, their calling, to their location, their sphere of ministry, affecting the situation for the kingdom of God. We all work. Do you know that? We all work. All of us, everything that you enjoy in life is because of someone's work. The new iPhone that came out, that was because someone's work. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, that is all because of someone's work. Everything you enjoy in life is because someone worked. Do you enjoy breathing? Well, thank God. Literally, thank God, because he's the one that worked and created so that you might be able to breathe this morning. Do you like the sun? Do you like the green grass? Do you like swimming in a cool pond or a lake or the ocean? That's because someone worked. God was a creator, and he worked. Everything you enjoy in life is because someone worked. And there are seven areas that we all work in. We can work in. One is religion. I'm working right now. You're resting. I'm working. You're working to stay awake. But we got religion. Family. Do you know moms and dads? They work. They work hard to raise up the next generation, to raise up godly offspring. Some of you kids are a lot more work than others. But it takes work. Government sometimes works. Education, they work. Media, they work. Celebration, arts and entertainment, they all work. And you're all of us sitting here this morning will work in one of those spheres of influence. Work. What we spend our time and energy and effort doing. See, there's lots of definitions for work. So just to start off, I want to make sure that we all are on the same subject, that we're talking about the same thing. So the definition that we will use for work is this: what we spend our time, energy, and effort doing. So that includes all of us. We're all doing something all the time. Sometimes you're working trying to fall asleep. We all are working. So before we look at our works, I think it's beneficial that we look and examine God's works. God works. He's a worker. And since most of our opinions and our attitudes about work were formed from the world's way of thinking, I think we need to look at the kingdom of God and his way of thinking. We are called to have the mind of Christ. We are called to be imitators of God. So by looking at how God works and what he says about work, we should apply that to how we should think about work, how we should apply it to our own lives. Because I'm sure that we all need to renew our minds to our Heavenly Father's opinion and attitude towards the subject. For God is a worker. The works of God. God worked and we were created. He works and we are transformed. The works of God expresses his love, power, and grace. Because of them, we are saved from our past, sustained in the moment, and have hope for eternity. Do you know that God's work expresses his nature? We can actually get an idea of what God is like through his works. That's amazing. One of the first lessons we learn from the Bible is that God, the creator of the universe, is working, that he's a working and productive being. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So right off the bat, we see that God is a worker. He was a creator. He is a productive being. And we see that God's personal ratio of work to rest was 6-1. He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Another thing I want to point out might be simple, but God views work as a good thing. And the results of what he did were good. Work is a good thing, young people. And the results that were produced from God's work were good. It seems simple, but we have to understand we have to think that what work and what God has called us to do in this earth is good, and he wants to produce good through you. The book of Psalms refers over and over to creation being God's handiwork. See, this is so different than other pagan gods, you know, the gods of the Greeks and all of that, where that God created the world and just left it alone and walked away. We have a God that is continually working. We have a God that is intimately invested into his creation. We have a God that's personal and up close with you. In Psalms 8:3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained," God was working. Have you considered God's work? In Psalms 19:1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands." So God works. He works. He works to reveal his works reveal his greatness and his majesty. His work is an expression of who he is. It's just amazing. I got a Facebook message sent to me from someone that goes to church here, and it was a grasshopper, and it was singing the song with its legs or whatever, and they slowed down the sound. They slowed it down. And it sounded like an orchestra. It was amazing. by simply slowing down. I mean, all of creation sings the praises of God. How amazing he is. The amount of colors, the amount of different types of animals. I mean, there's a bird that migrates to Hawaii every year. And they said that it consumes just enough food and enough fat on its body to get to Hawaii. If it had just a little bit less or a little bit less, they would never have made it to Hawaii. How do they know to do that? How do they know to fly south or even which way south is? I'm a salmon fisherman. They start running. Salmon and steelhead run. Steelhead in the spring, salmon in the fall. Do you know that every single one of those fish are returning to the very river that it was born in? How in the world does it find the river that it was born in? Of all the rivers flowing into the Great Lakes, it finds the one that it was born in and returns to it. God is amazing. Your fingerprints, the personalities, snowflakes, all this stuff. God is amazing, and his work expresses his majesty and his ability and who he is. And our work does the same thing. In Psalms 104:24, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Psalms 102:25, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Many other great references to the work of God appear throughout the Psalms. Look at all these. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Does that express you this morning? Are you familiar with the works of God? Are you awake to what God is doing in the earth right now? And do you proclaim it to other people? That sunset, that song, people's talents, do you say, isn't God amazing how he painted that sunset? That he designed the earth in a way that we have a sun and a moon? I mean, just the little things that I've read, do you know when the tides happen? You know what the tides are? The ocean's going in and out. Do you know that that's the gravitational pull of the moon? And when they go out, it's actually, if you could look at it, it actually builds a mountain with the ocean. And then it comes back in. That's amazing. And the earth is tilted just the right way to give us our seasons. And if we were so many miles closer to the sun, we'd burn up. And if we were so many miles away farther from the sun, we'd freeze to death. All his work is done in truth, 33:4. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, 45. All men shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. Your wondrous works declare your name is near. What he's saying there is when we see God working in the earth, it declares that we have a God that is up close and personal with his creation. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Not only does God want you to be glad in his works, but through the works of his hands, he's called you to triumph. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Do you know that God created you? He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He planned you. He predestinated you. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercy are over all his works. God's tender mercy is over all his works. God is active. He works and continues to work. The prophets also acknowledged God's working. But where the Psalms talks about God's work in creation and being a creator, the prophets emphasize God's work toward and in his people. In Isaiah 29:14, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So not only does God work in the creation and in the natural and the earth, but he also works in nations. God works in nations and in governments and in people. He also said, but now, O Lord, you are a father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. God wants to mold you and form you. He wants to create in you. He wants to work in your life. Other prophets also acknowledge God's works. For instance, Jeremiah 32:19, you are great in counsel and mighty, mighty in work. Jeremiah 51:10, come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Daniel also commented on God's working. In Daniel 6:27, he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Habakkuk stated this about God's working. Habakkuk 1:5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you. And that's the work of Jesus Christ. Nehemiah, although not a prophet per se, declares the work of God. In Nehemiah 6:16, when all your enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Nehemiah was the one that was commissioned by God to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, the temple. And by them doing what God called them to do, it caused the rest of the nations to step back and say, this is the work of God. When's the last time someone looked at you and said, wow, God's working through you? He longs to. He wants to. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that God is energetic. He's life-giving. He's a protective God. He worked in creation, and he worked on the behalf of his people in the Old Testament. But is he still working today, or has he retired? One thing about it's interesting about retire, the word retired, is that in Hebrew, there is not a word for retire. There's no word in the Hebrew language for retirement. That's something to think about. Now, I'm not saying you don't stop what you're doing and do something different, but you continue to live. You continue to work. Look at what Jesus says about the work of God. In John 5:17, but he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now. He has never ceased working, and I too am working. God is continually working. God wants to work in the earth. He wants to work in his people. Our students, you have to understand this, and you have to know this, that God desires to work in your life. He desires to partner in your life. He desires to give you wisdom and ideas and abilities, that when people look at you, they see that there's no way that they could have done that on their own. In John 14:10, In the Amplified, it says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not say on my own initiative or authority, but the Father abiding continually in me does his works, his attesting miracles and acts of power. Do you know that you have God abiding in you and that God wants to work through you, that he wants to continually work in his church and in his children?" So we know that God worked in the Old Testament. We know that God worked through his son, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. But what about the apostles? Well, as the Jews in Jerusalem observed believers who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, they proclaimed, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God," in Acts chapter 2, 11. When Paul and Barnabas testified before the church council in Jerusalem, they shared how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles in Acts 15, 12. Later in Acts, we read that God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul in Acts 19, 11. God is the one that works through his body. God is the one. That's why you never have to be intimidated to pray for somebody or speak to somebody, because it's not you. It's allowing God to work through you. Work through you. God's mighty work doesn't end in the book of Acts. Rather, it continues throughout the New Testament as believers allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through them. God is seen continually working in, for, and through his people. See, this is something we have to know. Before we can tackle our works, we have to understand that God is working. That we have to understand that God wants to work through you. Because it's a lot easier when his grace is upon your work rather than you doing it by the sweat of your own brow. There's a huge difference. As great as creation was, the greatest demonstration of God's work, the greatest masterpiece that he ever created, was seen when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places." Paul prayed that the Ephesian believers, he prayed that all believers would be able to deeply perceive and understand the reality of their hope and the riches of what God has given them. He also prayed that believers will see what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. That was the work of God. Look at all the rest of these in the epistles. In Romans 9, 28, "The Lord will make a short work upon the earth." In 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 11, "And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each one individually as he wills." In Galatians 2, 8, "For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles." Paul's saying that the Lord was working in Peter towards the Jews, and the same Lord is working effectively towards me as I go to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. "According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will," Ephesians 1, 11. "For we are his workmanship," Ephesians 2, 10. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us," Ephesians 3, 20. There's a power of God that wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think by allowing God to work through you. Philippians 1, 6, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you know that even if you've stopped allowing God to work in your life, God's willing to continue as soon as you'll let him? He'll continue to work in your life. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In Colossians 2:12, we were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Hebrews 13:21 says that the God of peace will make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. If you don't enjoy work, if you look at work as a burden, I ask you, are you allowing God to work with you and through you? Are you allowing God to work with you and through you? Have you invited him into your place of work? How about the end, Revelations? Is God still working? Well, in Revelations 15:3, it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before the throne. This verse implies that our triune God is a God that works. He's working, he worked, and he's yet to work. Who was, who is, and who is to come. He's continually working. Because God works, we are kept and sustained. And because God will work, we have a future and hope. God's work sounds like awful lot like God's grace. Have you taken time to recognize and appreciate God's work? Or like most people, have you taken his work for granted? We started off worship this morning talking about rejoicing and being thankful. When's the last time you thought about God's work and thanked him for it? When's the last time you rejoiced at the works of God in your life? What God does matters. See, the more you see God working and see him working in the earth, the more you have an understanding of who he is. What God does matters. His works reveal his character and intent. And what we're going to discover as we go on is in the series is that if the same is true with us. What we do with our time, with our energy, with our work, reveals what's in our hearts. Our works, what we do outwardly, and how we do it speak volumes about what's in our heart. In the coming week, let's spend time meditating on the works of God. Let's take a little time meditating on the goodness of God and the works of God. Maybe, you know, let's use social media as a positive thing. Let's just, you know, we got our group page on Facebook. Let's spend some time this coming week meditating and looking for God working in the earth. And share it. Post it on there. Encourage one another with how you're seeing God working in your life and in the life of others and in this world. Think about those things he has done. What has influenced you? What's been most meaningful to you? And share them with the rest of us. So often we forget that we have a God that works. And this is just a foundation. This is a foundation of renewing our minds to the subject of work. Every single one of us, everyone that takes breath into their lungs is working. You have a work. And God wants to be in that work. God wants to work through you. and he wants to do good to humanity through you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God that chose to work. And we thank you that when we messed up your work, you went back to work to redeem and to reclaim what you have lost. We thank you that you never stop working. You're working in us right now. You are working to transform our minds, our thoughts, our actions, into who we are in Christ Jesus. You are longing to work through the church, the body of Christ, to do a work in the earth, to bring love, peace, joy, safety, protection. Heavenly Father, as we go through this series, I just ask that the Holy Spirit, as he works in us, would lead us and speak to us about the areas of our life that you've called us to work in. And that you would show us that you want to work through us and in us so that the glory of God might be revealed in this earth. We thank you for it, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.